Okay, this week's parasha is Parashas Vayera. I'll learn a little bit some of the parasha together and share some Divrei Torah. It's a very packed parasha, this week's parasha. Covers a lot of different inyanim, different episodes in Avraham Avinu's life. Parasha begins Vayera Elav Hashem Be'Eloinei Mamre. Hashem appeared to Avraham Avinu in the field of Mamre, in the plains of Mamre. And Avraham Avinu, the Torah tells us, was sitting outside his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted his eyes and he saw, behold, there were three people standing before him. And he gazed at them. He ran towards them from the entrance of his tent. And he bowed to them. And he addressed them, my masters. This is one shot in Rashi. If I found favor in your eyes, please don't pass by your servant. Don't just continue on your travels. Let's take a little bit of water for you. And wash your feet. And you rest under the tree. I'll get some bread. And I'll feed you. Then you can continue to travel. Because you passed by your servant, so must have been, I'm asking you to do this favor for me, to come into the house and be my guest. And they answered, go ahead. Avram rushes to the tent, prepare three sa'ah, flour, lushi, basiugos, baked cake, baked bread. And he runs to the cattle. He takes a young calf. And he prepares it. He takes some butter and milk and the calf. He gives it to the guests. He's standing on top of them by the tree and they eat. And then they start asking him about Sarah. So we have here, at the beginning of the parasha, the story of Avraham Avinu and how he was so dedicated to the mitzvah of Achnasas Archim. Take a look a little bit in the Rashi. Vayera Elav Hashem. Pasuk says that Hashem appeared to Avraham. So Rashi says, Levaker es Achoyla. That Hashem came to perform the mitzvah of Bikur Choylim, to visit the sick. Omer Rav Chama, Rav Chanina, Yom Shlishi, Lubilasa, Yohayah, this was the third day following the bris that Avraham Avinu had performed in the end of last week's parasha. Ubakadosh Baruch Hu b'shal b'shlamo, Hashem came to inquire as to his welfare. So he came to visit him. So the parasha begins, Vayera Elav Hashem, that Hashem appeared to Avraham. Hashem came to visit Avraham. There was here a state of Gilu Yishchina. There was a revelation that Hashem appeared to Avraham. If you look in Unklus translates this Galilei Hashem. God revealed himself to Avraham Avinu. There was a Gilui Shechina. The Shechina revealed itself. The divine presence came to Avraham Avinu and he was visiting him. He was, Rashi says, inquiring into his welfare. They were engaged in a dialogue. And then what happens? He's sitting there at the entrance of his tent. It's the heat of the day. He looks up and he sees that three people in the distance that are standing there, that Hashem, as Chazal tell us, Rashi quotes it, sent these angels in the form of men. That's in Rashi. Kechoy Mayoyim, Rashi says, "What? Why does the Torah tell us it was the heat of the day?" Hoitzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chama Min Artika. God took the sun out of its case, so to speak, Sheloi LaHatzrichoy B'Yorchim, so that he wouldn't have to trouble himself with attending to guests. But he saw, God saw that Avraham Avinu was upset that there weren't any guests coming. So God sent angels to him in the form of men. They took on a human form. So Avraham Avinu sees these people before him and he gazes at them. He thinks of, you know, he looks at them again, he runs towards them and invites them, and then in Pasuk Hey, Pasuk Gimel, it says, Vayomar Adonai Yimnom Motzasi Chen Be'Einecha, Al notavra mi'al avdecha. So we translated it the first time he read it the way we have one pshat in Rashi, that he was addressing the guests. He was addressing these men and telling them, my masters, addressing them in a very respectable way, treating them with a lot of honor. Adonai, my masters, please don't continue on your travel. Come into my house and grab a bite. That's one pshat in Rashi. But there's a second pshat in Rashi in Pasuk Gimel. Vayomer Adonai no motzasi chen be'einecha. Rashi writes, Dover Acher, another pshat, Kodesh, this name of Adonai is actually a holy name. It's not translated as my masters, but he was addressing Hashem. He was addressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hoya oimer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said to Hashem, Lahamtin loy, please wait, ad sheyarutz v'yachnis esorchim, until he goes and runs and takes care of the guests. So we have a second shot in Rashi, again based on Chazal, Medrash, and it says in the Pasuk, Gimel, Vayomer, he said, if I find favor in your eyes, don't leave from your servant, that Avram was not addressing the three angels that were standing there, but rather he was addressing God. God came and revealed himself to Avram Avinu at the beginning of the parasha, by Yerel Hashem. Hashem appeared to Avram, and they're engaged in some kind of a dialogue. Rashi says God is inquiring into his welfare. So Avram Avinu turns to Hashem, according to this pshat of Rashi, second pshat in Pasuk Gimel. He says to Hashem, Hashem, if I find favor in your eyes, please don't leave. Just wait here a little bit. I have to take care of the guests. I'll be back and we'll continue our dialogue. We'll continue this revelation. But right now, please hold on. Wait. I have to take care of the guests. That's what Chazal says. So the Gemara says, based on this, it's a famous Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chof Zayin. It's also, I think, quoted in Masechta Shavuos. The Gemara says, from here, that Chazal state, G'doylo hachnos esorchim, yoyser mekabolas pnei ashchina. Inviting guests, we see from here, is greater than receiving the Shechina, than being engaged in a dialogue or a revelation with the Shechina. Parsha begins, Vayera Olav Hashem, Hashem appeared to Avram. It was Gili Shechina. Hashem appeared to Avram Avinu. This Galilei, Unkula says. And then, 2 minutes later, Avram Avinu sees the guests, or two psukim later, Avram Avinu sees the guests, he says, Hashem, hold on, don't leave. Please wait. I have to take care of the guests. So says the Gemara, we see from here, that inviting guests in a certain way is greater than receiving the Shechina. Because Avraham Avinu is telling Hashem, okay, we're involved in this Gilui Shechina, this dialogue, this visit, this divine visit. Please wait while I go take care of the guests, and then I'll be back. And there was no problem with that. So you see, that's what the Gemara says in Shabbos. The question is, how do we understand that? What's the pshat? That why is doing achnosis orchim greater than kabbalas pnei ashchina? Than receiving a divine visit? Communicating with Hashem, divine revelation is not as great as inviting guests into your home. What's the pshat in this? In this statement of Chazal, which we learn out of these psukim. Well, to share a few thoughts on this inyan. There's an interesting nitziv in his commentary, Hamek Dover. The nitziv was one of the great gedolim in the 1800s, late 1800s, early 1900s. And he was Rosh Yeshiva in Volozhin, which was the first, yeshiva, founded by Rav Chaim Volozhiner, student of the Gra, first like modern day type of yeshiva in Europe, Lithuanian world. And he has a sefer Hamek Dover on Chumash. So in his sefer Hamek Dover, the Netziv quotes the following medrash. Medrash says in the beginning of this week's parasha, Parashas Tanchuma, that if you look in Pasuk Beis, it says Vayisa Eino Vayar. He lifted his eyes and he saw, and behold, there were three people standing before them. And then it says again Vayar. He saw them. Vayaratz the Krasam. He ran towards them. So why does it say Vayar twice? So Rashi says one pshat. What's the pshat of Rashi? Why it says Vayar twice? Rashi says the first time he noticed them, he saw that there were three people there. And the second time, he paid more attention to them. He focused on them. He focused on what they were doing. He understood that they were standing in one place because they didn't want to trouble him. So he analyzed a little bit deeper what they were doing. That's the pshat of Rashi. But the Medrash says, Vayar is talking about, the Medrash says Vayar, the first time, is referring to the Shekhinah. He saw that the Shekhinah was there. Hashem is there, talking to him. And then it says again, Vayar, he saw the Malachim. So in other words, the Medrash is alluding to that Avraham Avinu was in a dilemma. He was in a dilemma, he wasn't sure what to do. Should he continue his dialogue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this revelation, Vayar, he sees the Shekhinah, or should he go to the guests that are before him? And the Pasuk says, Vayarats the cross, and he ran towards them, says the Medrash. So what's the, it says in the Medrash further, that Avraham Avinu looked at these three people that were standing in the distance, and he said, Imani Raya Oysam, Cholkin Kavod Zelozeh, if I see that they respect one another, they treat one another with respect. Then I know that they are in fact fit people. They're chashuva people. They're people that have proper midos. And then I'll go ahead and I'll invite them. That's what the Medrash says. So the Netziv asks two questions on the Medrash. First question is, what's the Medrash alluding to, that one Vayar is he saw the Shekhinah, the other Vayar is referring to he saw the Malachim, and Avraham Avinu was in a dilemma. What exactly was the issue? And secondly, why does it imply from the Medrash that Avraham Avinu was looking at the people before him and watching their behavior in order to decide whether or not he should invite them into his home? We know from Chazal, from many Midrashim, that Avraham Avinu, he had an open door policy. It says that his house had an entrance on every single side. Anyone could come to his house. He wasn't makbid. We see over here that he tells them to wash their feet because he thought that they worshipped Avodah Zarah. But he's taking everyone into his house. Just because they worship Avodah Zarah, he wasn't going to bring them in. He brings them in, even though he thinks they worship Avodah Zarah. He tells them to wash, they might be worshipping Avodah Zarah. He tells them, wash your feet. So why is he first saying, let me look at how they behave to one another, and then I'll see what I'm going to do. Well, he's going to invite them no matter what. What does it matter how they behave to each other, that affects whether or not he's going to invite them? That's the question the Netziv asks on the Medrash. So the Netziv gives the following answer. The Netziv says that Avraham Avinu at that time was engaged in a dialogue with Hashem, a revelation. God came and appeared himself to him. So Avraham Avinu was in a state, so to speak, says the Netziv, of what you'd call like deep, you know, meditation, in connected completely to Avas Hashem, love of Hashem. He was focusing on love of Hashem. And that's a mitzvah that a person is always obligated to do. It's the mitzvah of Avas Hashem Alikecha B'chol Levavcha B'chol Nafshecha. A person has a mitzvah of Avas Hashem. So now we have the following situation. Avraham Avinu is really, technically, you would say, involved already in doing a mitzvah. When it says in the beginning of the parasha, Vayera Elav Hashem, Hashem appeared to Avraham Avinu and Hashem is visiting the sick. So, but Avraham Avinu is engaged in the mitzvah of receiving HaKadosh Baruch Hu and involved in the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, of having a dialogue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and focusing on love of God. So he is already involved in the mitzvah. And now another mitzvah comes along his way. the mitzvah of achnas asarchim. So we have, says the Netziv, a basic rule that the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Talmud Torah, in Perek Gimel, Hilchos Talmud Torah, I think it's there. Let's see. What is a person supposed to do when he's doing a mitzvah and now another mitzvah comes his way? So we have a general concept. What's the general concept? If you're doing one mitzvah, another mitzvah comes your way, Jacob? Excellent. Oisik b'mitzvah. If you're involved in one mitzvah, then you're potter min ha-mitzvah. You're exempt from the second mitzvah. So why then is Avraham Avinu interrupting his fulfillment of the mitzvah of Avos Hashem by having this dialogue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and going ahead to go do achnas asarchim? So the answer says that it says that the Gemara says, and it's also passing here in the Rambam, that the Rambam here is talking about Talmud Torah, Perek Gimel Halacha Daled, Hilchos Talmud Torah. The Rambam says, "Hoyu l'fon of asiyas mitzvah v'talmud Torah." If a person was in the middle of learning Torah and then another mitzvah comes his way, im efshel l'mitzvah l'heyasa yisal yidei acherim, if other people can fulfill the mitzvah, l'yafsik min Talmudah, you're not supposed to stop learning. But otherwise, says the Rambam, in Lav, Yasa mitzvah, you do the mitzvah, the Yatzel, the Talmud, and you go back to learn. In other words, says the Rambam, that the basic rule, as Jacob said, is Oslik mitzvah, Padman mitzvah. If a person's involved in one mitzvah, he's exempt from doing another mitzvah. However, if this situation of the mitzvah that comes before you is a mitzvah opportunity that no one else can accomplish, you're the only person right now who can accomplish this mitzvah, other people cannot take care of the mitzvah, then the rule of Osek b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah, doesn't apply. If it's a mitzvah overis, a passing mitzvah, that will be a lost opportunity. You stop what you're doing and you go back. So says the Netziv, that's the chiddush over here, perhaps, that explains pshat in the Medrash and also in the statement of Chazal in the Gemara and Shabbos. The Medrash says, vayar, what's the double vayar in the pasuk that he saw? He saw the Shekhinah, and he saw the Malachim, he saw these guests. And Avraham Avinu now had a dilemma. What should he do? Should he interrupt the mitzvah that he is currently involved in, which is the mitzvah of Avos Hashem, by being engaged in this very intense revelation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So he's fulfilling the mitzvah of Avos Hashem, he's concentrating on love of God. Should he interrupt that mitzvah to take care of the mitzvah of inviting the guests? So what's the general rule? The general rule is, it depends. If there's other people who could do the mitzvah, then you're not supposed to stop. But if you're the only person around who can take care of the mitzvah, and the mitzvah is passing by, if you don't do it, you'll lose the chance to do the mitzvah. So then the rule is, we don't say that Osik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah, even if this is such a great mitzvah as a mitzvah of being engaged in Avos Hashem, you stop and you go take care of the other mitzvah. So says the Medrash, he looked at them to see how they were acting to one another. And he saw that they were acting in a way that they were giving one another tremendous respect. He saw, as it says in Chazal, that they were Anoshim Gedolim. They were very prominent Choshva people. So Avraham Avinu realized that this is not a mitzvah which he could just leave for others to do. If other people would take care of the mitzvah, if he would just have his son Yishmael take care of this mitzvah and Eliezer, so that he's not doing the mitzvah properly, because according to this, these people's stature, they're such chashuva people, so it's not proper respect for them if he's going to ask his servant to take care of them. He has to do it himself. So he realized that this is a mitzvah which is yefshel lasos al yidei acherim. It's a mitzvah that can't be done by others properly. It has to be done by him himself. And therefore, the rule is, we don't say Oisik b'mitzvah patur mitzvah. Rather, you're allowed to stop doing the mitzvah that you're currently involved in to go ahead and do the other mitzvah. So that's why Avraham Avinu stopped what he was doing, and he told Hashem in Pasuk Gimel, please wait while I go invite these guests. Says the Netziv, according to this pshat, we can explain that what does the Gemara mean when the Gemara says, G'doy la'achnas asarchem yoysem mekabolos pnei hashchina? The Gemara doesn't mean that if we had to weigh mitzvos, which one is more significant, or which one is more chashuv, that the mitzvah of achnas asarchim has more significance than the mitzvah of Kabbalah Pnei Hashchina. It's hard to say such a thing. Kabbalah Pnei Hashchina, it's like a level of nevuah. That's not as great as Hachnosis Archim. Says the Netziv, according to this pshat, Chazal don't mean that. Chazal are just saying that we see in this situation that Hachnosis Archim is chashuv a mitzvah, that it overrides, it pushes away the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Kabbalah Pnei Hashchina of Avos Hashem, because it was the actual Asasayideh Acherim. It wasn't possible for other people to take care of it. Avraham Avinu was the only one who could do it properly. So that's why he stopped what he's doing in order to take care of the second mitzvah that came his way. But not that the Chazal are saying that this mitzvah is greater than the mitzvah of Avos Hashem. If you have a choice, you can either do Hachnasas Arachim, or you can fulfill the mitzvah Kabbalah Pnei Hashchina, so you should choose Hachnasas Arachim. The Netziv says, no, it depends. If you have a choice, and other people could take care of the mitzvah Hachnasas Arachim, then the mitzvah of Kabbalah Pnei Hashchina, Avos Hashem, would take precedence. What Chazal just means, says the Netziv, is that in this situation, that Avraham Avinu was already involved in the mitzvah of Kabbalah Pnei Hashchina of Avos Hashem, and now another mitzvah came his way of Hachnasas Arachim that others couldn't take care of, so then Gedoyla Hachnasas Arachim, in this circumstance, Hachnasas Arachim is greater, that it overrides Kabbalah Pnei Hashchina. But not that in general Hachnasas Arachim overrides Kabbalah Pnei Hashchina. That's what the Netziv explains, that's his pshat. However, other Achroinim and Mefarshim interpret Chazal differently. That when Chazal say on this story here with Avraham Avinu at the beginning of the parasha that Gedoyla Achnasas Arachim Yosem and Kabbalah Pnei Hashchina, that we see that inviting guests is in a certain sense even greater than receiving a divine visit and being involved with a divine revelation, they learn it literally Gedoyla Achnasas Arachim Yosem and Kabbalah Pnei Hashchina. So the question is, what's the pshat? Why is inviting guests, Hachnasas Arachim, and inviting people that Avraham Avinu thought were Arabs into his house, and giving them a meal to eat of good meat and milk, butter. He's giving them good food. He's telling them, he's giving them a bed to rest. Why is that greater than Kabbalah Pnei Hashchina? Than having a visit that HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to him and Hashem is communicating with him directly, reveals himself to him. What's the pshat in this? So Rabbi Ruchim Levavitz, the Mashgiach of the Mir in Poland, before World War II, he passed away shortly before, a couple of years before World War II. And Rabbi Ruchim Levavitz was, his period was maybe the most influential figure in the Mir Yeshiva pre-World War II in Europe, in Poland, which was maybe the most prestigious yeshiva of its time. So Rabbi Ruchim writes in his Sefer on Chumash, he says the following, very fundamental concept. Rabbi Ruchim says, we see from here the following idea. Some people think that to reach great levels of spirituality, so it's necessary to do, you know, like extreme outer worldly type of things. You should maybe, I don't know, meditate for a couple of hours until you're like, you know, in the zone. Or you should do something else really, you know, extreme. Maybe fast a lot so you don't have any pleasure from this world, from food. People think, people have a tendency to think that real spirituality means that I'm like somehow out of this world. I've reached beyond this world and I'm feeling like I'm floating or I'm in the clouds. I'm feeling really spiritual. That's what people think is real spirituality. Okay, maybe think, oh, you feel really spiritual when you have a kumzitz and you're singing and imamish, you feel like feeling ruchnius, feeling spiritual. feeling like disconnected from this world. Says the Netziv, Rabbi Ruchem Levavitz, the Torah on this week's parasha is teaching us that that's a mistake. It's a complete mistake. We're not focused. Spirituality, true spirituality, is not on things that are beyond the realm of this world. True spirituality, high levels of spirituality, are in this world, in doing and dealing with what we would consider mundane activities. So here we have Avraham Avinu, just performed the mitzvah of Bris Milah at the age of 99. Kadosh Baruch Hu comes and reveals himself to him. In this week's parasha, the beginning of the parasha, by Yerei Elav Hashem, he's mamish like an outer worldly experience. If you look in the Ramban, at the beginning of the parasha, the Ramban has a whole discussion there with the Rambam. Mer Nevuchim, was this like a vision that Avraham Avinu was having? This whole story with the angels was maybe like a divine vision. He was, he was in a very high, so to speak, spiritual state, disconnected from this world. Vayera Elav Hashem. And yet, what does it say? When he sees the guests there before him, so he interrupts what he's doing, and he runs to take care of them. He chefs the calf. He's running back and forth to prepare all the food. Says Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz, the pshat is, Avraham Avinu was involved in Kabbalah Smei Hashchina. That's an outer worldly kind of experience, divine revelation. But he stops that, he interrupts that to take care of Achnasas Orchim, of dealing with mundane activities. Giving people food to eat who are tired and hungry and weary from their trip. And that's greater than Kabbalah Smei Hashchina, because real spirituality, what the Torah wants us is not to disconnect from this world, but rather the Torah wants us to be involved in this world, in day-to-day human things, and infuse them with meaning, with purpose. That's real spirituality. Real spirituality is giving a cup of milk to someone who's hungry in the morning. That's spirituality. It's more spiritual, says Rabbi Yerucham. You see here, it's more spiritual than Kabbalah Smei Hashchina, than an outer worldly experience. You don't have to look for ruchnius in feeling like I'm floating, I'm in the clouds, feeling spiritual. Spirituality means doing Ratzon Hashem. Doing Ratzon Hashem in this world, doing the mitzvos. That's spirituality. That's what Rabbi Yerucham explains. Rav Pam, in his Sefer, Atara L'melech, Avraham Pam, Satzal, was Rosh Yeshiva of Torah V'Das in Brooklyn. Passed away about 12 years ago, maybe more. Maybe by now it's already close to 15 years ago, maybe longer. Pam was one of the great gedolim in America of our day, of our time. He's an unbelievable tzaddik, tremendous insight, exceptional character. So Rav Pam says the following point on what we just spoke about in terms of Avraham Avinu. He says, you see here an unbelievable, very outstanding quality about Avraham Avinu. That Avraham Avinu, while he was in the same time, he was engaged in this divine revelation. Kadosh Baruch Hu appeared himself to Avraham. It was divine revelation. He was in deep meditation, communicating with Hashem, thinking about Hashem. He sees three guests who look like they're traveling a long time on the road. They seem tired and hungry. He stops what he's doing, and right away he's dealing with taking care of their needs, of their physical needs. Says Rav Pam, what we see from here is the following. We see from here how Avraham Avinu was able to incorporate, at the same time, he was both connected completely to Hashem, divine revelation, and out of this world experience, and at the same time, he's totally connected to the people around him, noticing their physical needs and tending to their physical needs. That's the sign, says Rav Pam, of greatness. That's the greatness of Avraham Avinu. Sometimes a person could be very engrossed in ruchnius, and he doesn't see the people around him. He doesn't notice the people around him. And he quotes, or I thought you could quote in connection to this, famous saying from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who was famous for starting what? The Musar movement in the 1800s, early 1800s. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said the following. He said, someone else's gashmius, someone else's physical needs, that's your ruchnius, your spirituality. Your spirituality is being aware and helping out, tending to someone else's gashmius, someone else's physical needs. So you see over here that Avraham Avinu, even though he was engaged in this revelation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, an out-of-worldly experience, very spiritual, very lofty, the same instant he noticed the people that came, travelers on the road, and he contemplates, he thinks, what do they need? Oh, they could use a hot meal, they could use a bed to sleep in, and he runs to do it. Because taking care of someone else's gashmius is ruchnius. That's ruchnius. For you, it's ruchnius to help out someone else's gashmius. It's not gashmius. To take care of your own gashmius maybe is gashmius. But to take care of someone else's gashmius is ruchnius. That's what Yisrael Salanter says, and that's what you see here from Avraham Avinu. And the altar of Slabotka, the altar of Slabotka, Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkel Zatzal, that the Rosh Hashiva of the Mir, Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkel, was named for. His great-great-grandfather. The altar of Slabotka was one of the great Talmidim of Reb Yisrael Salanter. He was one of the most prominent, influential Musar yeshivas in Lithuania. It was called Yeshivas Knesset Yisrael Slabotka, a town called Slabotka, which is outside Kovno, which is capital of Lithuania. So the author of Slabotkin is safe for Arat Sofer, and he says the most amazing statement. Most amazing statement. He quotes a Braisa in Meseches Derech Eretz Zuta. The Braisa says in Meseches Derech Eretz Zuta, says the following statement in Chazal. Have Ritzoncha Mipnei Ritzon Chavirecha. Person should give up his desires for the desires of his friend, Shekein Asasa Rachel, because that's what we find that Rachel did. Rachel gave up her own desires, her own self-interest, and she sacrificed them for that of her friend, for Leah, for her sister Leah. Says the altar of Slabodka, what a Chazal teaching us in this statement. When Chazal say a person should give up his own desire, his own ratzon, because of the ratzon of his friend, and the example that they bring is Leah and Rachel. Is that Rachel had a great desire to marry Yaakov Avinu. If she marries Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov wanted to marry her. If she's going to marry Yaakov Avinu, she'll be the mother of the 12 tribes. She's going to establish the Jewish people. Jewish people are going to accept the Torah and fulfill God's will in this world. So it's a great spiritual opportunity Rachel had. Rachel had a great spiritual opportunity. The opportunity to marry Yaakov Avinu. But she knew that her sister was very, very upset. She was crying, as Rashi says, all the time. She's going to get stuck marrying Esav or Rasha. She's very, very upset. So what does Rachel do? So it says in Chazal, she gave away the simanim. She gave away the signs that Yaakov and her had made up because they knew that maybe Lavan was not so honest. Maybe he's going to try to trick Yaakov. So Yaakov made up with her certain code to recognize that she's actually going to be Rachel. Rachel gave away the code. She gave away these signs of who she is to Leah in order not to embarrass Leah, that Leah shouldn't feel bad, she shouldn't be upset. So she gave up, says the author of Slabotka. We see here that Rachel gave up in a certain sense. She was willing to sacrifice her own spiritual opportunity that she had in order to give that opportunity to her sister, that her sister shouldn't feel bad. Her sister shouldn't lose out. So you see from here, says the author of Slabodka, that a person is obligated, we see from Rachel, or not obligated, but there's a greatness. Actually, the Chazal in Maseches Derech Eretz Zuta are learning out that there's a chiyuv. Person should give up his own desire, his own agenda, his own self-interest, in the interest of his friend. Says in Maseches Derech Eretz Zuta, we learned it out from Rachel. Says the author of Slabodka, we see from here that a person at times is supposed to give up and sacrifice his own spiritual opportunity to enable someone else to have a spiritual opportunity. That's what you see from the story of Rachel and Leah. But he says in this week's parsha from Avraham Avinu, we see even a step further. And this is a deeper insight into what Chazal are teaching us when they say, G'doylach nasasorachim yoysen kabolas neyashchina. Avraham Avinu was involved in kabolas neyashchina. He's involved in tremendous ruchnius, a tremendous ruchnius experience, a great spiritual opportunity. But he gave it up to do what? To give the three people on the road a good meal, a bed to sleep in. So says the author of Slabodka, you see that at times a person should give up his own ruchnius, his own spiritual growth and opportunity, the spiritual growth, in order to give his friend gashmius, to give his friend physical needs. What's the pshat in that? What's the hesber in that? The hesber in that, you can say two explanations. One, like we just said, from Yisrael Salanter, the Yisrael Salanter explains that taking care of someone else's gashmius is for you ruchnius, it's considered for you spirituality. It's a spiritual thing, because you're doing a mitzvah. A mitzvah, by definition, is spiritual. You're doing Ratzon Hashem. Or, another pshat is, maybe because a person who's taking care of his friend's needs is engaged in chesed, is engaged in emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a being that is a being of chesed. God is full of kindness, continuously bestowing kindness onto the world. So when a person is engaged in Hachnasas Arkin, he's emulating the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'alach T'Bedrachov, and that's why it's maybe even greater than his own spiritual opportunity. Again, the general klal is, when it comes to Ruchnius, person has to worry first about himself, about his own spiritual growth. However, the author of Slabodka says that we see in this week's parsha that at times might be warranted. You have to, if you have this shiloh, you have to discuss it with an adam gadol, with a person who can give you a good etzah, has deep, good insight. But we see from Avraham Avinu that Avraham Avinu sacrificed his own spiritual opportunity, that he was involved in Gili Shechina, in a dialogue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to do what? To do Achnasas Arachim, to take care of someone else's physical needs. So you give up your own spirituality to help someone else in the physical realm. Because taking care of someone else in the physical realm is itself ruchnius. That itself is ruchnius. That's the pshat that the author of Slabodka says over here in this week's parasha on that statement in Chazal. Just maybe another one or two thoughts on the parasha. A little bit later, after the story here with the Malachim coming to visit Avraham Avinu, so you have in Pasuk, Perek Yudches, Pasuk Tazayin, it says that the people left Avraham Avinu and they gazed at the city of stone. They looked at it, and Hashem says, am I going to hide from Avraham Avinu what I'm planning to do, that I'm going to destroy stone? Pasuk Yudches, Perek Yudches, Pasuk Yudches. Avram Haya Yiel Gai Gadol VaAtzim. Avram Avinu is going to be a great nation. V'Nivruchu Boi Kol Gai Haaretz, and all the nations of the world are going to be blessed in him. Ki Adatid, because I know Hashem says Leman Asher Yitzaves Bonav Es Beisal Yachlov. I know that He commands, He instructs His children and His whole household following Him. V'shomru derech Hashem, that they should follow the way of Hashem. Lasois tzedakah u'mishpat, to be engaged in charity and justice, to be engaged in chesed. L'man hovi Hashem al Avram es asher diber elov, and that's why, because he is such a righteous person and he's passing on the mesorah of how to serve Hashem to his household, he's instructing his household. So therefore, I'm going to bring to him the blessing that I promised him. So the pasuk here is a very famous pasuk. It says, "Ki yedatev." Hashem says, "I have a very fond relationship." Rashi explains, "Yedatev" means he's a good friend of mine. We're very intimate. We're intimately acquainted with one another. Ayin Avram Avinu. Why? Leman Asher Yitzaves Bonav Es Beis Yachlov. Because he commands, he instructs, he teaches his children and his whole household to shomru derech Hashem, to follow the way of Hashem, lasos tzedakah u'mishpat, to be engaged in tzedakah and in justice, charity and justice, to be engaged in chesed. Therefore, I'm going to bless him. So I don't want to hide from him what I'm doing. He's such a close person to me, so close to me, how can I hide it from him? That's what Hashem says. Ramban learns ki yedativ, that it's talking about that Hashem saying, I have special hashgacha pratis with Avram Avinu. This special hashgacha pratis with a tzaddik. Kadosh Baruch Hu has special divine providence in his relationship with a tzaddik because they're closely connected. That's how the Ramban explains ki yedatev. But there's an interesting Rambam, famous Rambam, in Hilchos Deos. Very famous Rambam in Hilchos Deos. The Rambam in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Deos. Hilchos Deos, the Rambam discusses character traits. How a person should act. So the Rambam there says very famously that what he calls the Derech HaYishara. What's the Derech HaYishara? What's the proper way to behave, says the Rambam? Mida Beinus. To be in the golden mean, meaning not to be to any extreme, one way or the other. A person shouldn't be to an extreme that he gets angry quickly, or he shouldn't be to the other extreme that he never gets angry. He shouldn't act to one extreme that he's very stingy, or to the other extreme that he doesn't pay attention at all to money. He just spends he's a spendthrift. He spends. So the Rambam goes on and says that this way of behaving is al pi the derech haemtzayis, what he calls the golden mean, that is emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what he calls his derech Hashem. And at the end of the parak he writes, v'hi shalomar Avram Avinu levonav, and this is what Avram Avinu taught his family, taught his household, shenemar ki yedativ Leman Asher Yitzaveh, quotes the pasuk in this week's parasha. That what's it referring to when it says ki yedativ Leman Asher Yitzaveh es bonav es beis yachlov v'shomru derech Hashem? The Rambam learns it's referring to Avraham Avinu taught his family that they should follow the derech Hashem. What does it mean, the derech Hashem? To be b'derech haemtzayis, b'derech hayosher, to be in the golden mean in terms of their midos, not to be to one extreme or to the other extreme. That's how the Rambam explains this pasuk. To Chiddush Pshat. Another 2 points I just want to mention, and then we'll go down for morning Seder. So when it talks about, so it says Avraham Avinu, he started to daven to Hashem, that Hashem should maybe spare the people in Sodom. Right? He turns to Hashem and he says, are you going to destroy the righteous together with the wicked? Maybe there are 50 righteous people in the city. Or maybe there's 45. Maybe there's 30, maybe there's 40, maybe there's 30, maybe there's 20, maybe there's 10. Right? Hashem should save the city. So the Alter of Slabodka says that you see from here a very important idea. You see from here, says the Alter of Slabodka, that the chesed that Avraham Avinu was involved in and the obligation of chesed is to all people, even to Rishayim. Even to Rishayim. You would think Avraham Avinu is the exact antithesis of Sodom. Avraham Avinu represents chesed, the ultimate. He embodies, he personifies chesed, the ultimate in concern for others and taking care of other people. What is Sodom? Sodom is the exact opposite. There they kill you if you do chesed. Rashi the Pasuk, HaKetzah HaKosah, Rashi refers to the Medrash, that the Medrash says that there was a girl there in Sodom who gave some salt or something to the guests, and the people in Sodom heard about it, they arrested her, they smeared her body, says in the Medrash, with honey, so she'd be attacked by the bees and bitten to death. They were terrible, the people in Sodom. It was mamish, the mamish exact opposite of chesed. So, and here we see that what? That Avraham Avinu was davening to Hashem that he shouldn't destroy the people in Sodom, save the city. Don't destroy the city, maybe there's some righteous people there. So says the Alter of Slabodka. What do you mean? These people are mamish the biggest rishonim in the world. Why are you davening to Hashem to save them? The answer is, says the Alter of Slabodka, we see from here the concept of Erachma Bal Kol Masov. Person has to have compassion to every single human being, even to a Rasha. You should hate his behavior, but you should always daven that the Rasha should do tshuva. Don't daven that they should be destroyed. The Rasha should do tshuva. His sin should stop. The sin should stop, it says in Tehillim. Not the sinners. I think you had the Gemara in Brachas, no?
Yeah.
Gemara in Brachas with Buryim. Buryim. So that's what you see over here, that Avraham Avinu was davening that Hashem should save Sodom, even though the people in Sodom were such tremendous Rishayim. But there's another diak here in the language of the Pasuk, the beautiful chat. It says, maybe there are 50 righteous people in the city. So are you going to destroy the city because of the 50 people that are there? You're going to destroy, the wipe out the whole town? Avraham says to Hashem. Hashem says, no, I won't do that. So Reb Meir Chodosh Zatzal, who was the Mashkiach of the Chevron Yeshiva across the road over here in Gibbat Mordechai, that's 30 years ago.
What was
it? Originated in Chevron, and then after the 1929 pogrom massacre, they relocated to Yerushalayim, and in the 70s or so, they moved over here. So he says the following. He says that the pshat is, Avraham Avinu is saying, if there are 50 people, righteous people in the city, it's not worth it to destroy the city. Why? Because the 50 righteous people in the city, they'll change the city. The Lashon of the Pasuk is, B'soy Chayir. If they're in the city, then you, that's a reason to save the city. Meaning that they would have a hashpa to save the city. Tzadik could have such a hashpa on other people. He could change them from being... Right, even 10. It goes down to 10. Even 10. Person could have Ashpa to change the city. Now, why was Sodom destroyed? What was the terrible Avera that Sodom did that because of that, Hashem wanted to destroy Sodom? So that, the Ramban, in Perek Yutes, Pasuk K, quotes two pshatim. One pshat is, the Ramban brings the Pasuk in Yecheskel, that says they didn't do Chesed, they didn't do Tzedakah. They used to persecute poor people and guests. Then the Ramban says maybe they did, you know, they in general, they were just very bad nidos. But then the Ramban writes the following, and with this we'll conclude, because I think I'm putting a lot of people here to sleep. Says the Ramban, Vida, you have it, John? Ramban, I'm reading Ramban, Perek Yutes, Pasuk Hey. Ramban writes the following, he says, Vida. If you have a Ramban. If not, you can listen. Vida says Ramban, you should know, ki mishpat doim hoya l'maylas Eretz Yisrael. Okay, the judgment that God destroyed the city of Sodom and raised it to the ground. That now all that's left is a lot of salt. Dead Sea. Have you been to Lot's wife? You saw that fella?
Right?
Yeah, that they claimed was Lot's wife.
How fat was she?
Oh, she had to turn into a big pillar
of
salt.
Like 4,700 feet high, like
over the years.
Maybe like
she was
a part of the
movie. That's it. We're stolen, sure. Yeah, you didn't know that.
Called
Stone. No, Kerry Yosef is in Shechem.
Shechem
is in English. It's called Nablus. Don't take a trip there on your own.
A few times.
No, Stone is by the Dead Sea. Yam HaMelech. Says in the Tzid, sorry, says the Ramban in Perek Yutes Pasuk Hey. Well, this will conclude. Ramban writes, "V'dai you should know ki mishpat zdoin." The judgment that God meted out on Sodom and destroyed Sodom, that is indicative, says the Ramban, of what? The greatness of Eretz Yisrael. Ki hi mechlal nachlas Hashem. Eretz Yisrael is God's land. It's His home. Ve'ena soveles anshei toevos. The land itself does not tolerate people who commit acts that are abominations. People who are disgusting. People who are immoral. The land itself cannot tolerate such people in the land. The kasher toki es agoy kuloi mipnei toav osa. And just as we see later in the Chumash, says the Ramban, the Torah tells us in Parshas Achremos, that the land will spit you out like it spit out the nations that lived there who were immoral. So if you follow immorality, immoral behavior, of Arias, the Pasuk is talking about there, Ramos and Kedoshim. So the Pasuk says the land will spit you out. Says the Ramban, just as it does that, the Torah says, for an entire nation, Hikdima v'kasa esa'on hazeh. The first time you find that the land spit out those that sinned were the people here in Sodom. Shehayu ro'im mekula. They were terrible people. Lashamayim lebrios vis-a-vis Hashem and vis-a-vis their fellow man. V'shamu aleim hashamayim ba'aretz v'ushchusa aretz v'leiru ful o'ilom. That land became completely destroyed forever. V'pnei shebavur toivin esko, because they became haughty. V'rak HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem saw it fit. Writes the Ramban, she'yil o'is v'lebnei Mary, that it should be a sign for rebellious people, for the future, for the Jewish people, Asidimli Rasha, that the Jews are going to inherit the land, like Hashem warns them, that if you don't follow the Torah, then the land will spit you out and be destroyed. Okay? Ki yesh, says Ramban, b'umay Yisroel v'chatoim oid v'lo yosem emkoch. There are a lot of nations in the world, in the Torah, that did a lot of terrible sins, and God didn't destroy their land like He did to Sodom. So why Sodom was punished in this way, writes the Ramban, this is because of the unique character of Eretz Yisrael. Kishom Heichal Hashem. Because that's the palace of Hashem. In Hashem's palace, you have to behave differently. You have to behave differently. If you're in the king's palace and you act like a boor, they'll throw you out. You can't stay there. You have to act in a refined manner when you're in the king's palace. So when a person does a chet in Eretz Yisrael, it's more chamor, it's more severe. It says the Ramban, that's the lesson that we learn out from Sodom. That Sodom was punished and destroyed completely because it's a place in Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael doesn't tolerate anshei toevos, people who commit sins that are abomination and their behavior is disgusting and repulsive, and they don't have proper midos, and they're not acting properly. Ben Adam Makom and Ben Adam Chavero. That's what the Ramban writes in this week's parasha, a very famous Yisod of the Ramban. All right, there's a lot more to talk about this week's parasha, the Akedah, and a lot of other inyanin, but we'll stop for now, and we'll head down to morning seder. Okay, Meshikar, everybody. You didn't even say, right?